Alright, hi Tony, this is Gene Gonzaga, and this is my audio reaction to the article on critical thinking skills. There are basically three main things I wanted to bring up in my discussion and reaction to the article on critical thinking skills. My first point is that critical thinking skills are highly important not only to university students and for academics, but also for the common man. People are constantly bombarded and inundated with information through print, music, film, and audio. Many ideas and beliefs are being conveyed through these mediums, and all people should be able to and must be able to sift through this copious amount of information and determine what makes sense and what does not make sense. Not everything that we're going to encounter in life will be valid. Oftentimes we'll come across something or some ideas and concepts that we can describe with four-letter words. Which I will not utter here. I think the most important part of thinking critically is being able to create a cycle in which information is being processed by your brain, but at the same time, you're also analyzing the incoming information, and you're formulating opinions, ideas, and beliefs of your own. A lot of times, you'll latch on to certain ideas and you'll make them your own, and you'll further the information that perhaps that idea was lacking. Other times you'll come across ideas that you're totally against, and you're going to try to find evidence that disputes this idea, opinion, or belief. My second point is the distinction between personal opinion and academic opinion. People hold both types of opinions. Some people think, you know, the cucumbers taste better pickled, or that the New York Yankees are the seeds of Satan. These are personal opinions, and more often than not, these opinions cannot be substantiated through collecting evidence. Scientific or academic opinion, on the other hand, can be substantiated with a collecting of evidence. As academics and future leaders of the world, we have a responsibility to defend our opinions and ideas with argumentative prose and objective evidence. Some people say that the only absolute is that there are no absolutes. I think the knee-jerk nihilist would probably fall into this category, but I don't believe this is valid. The truth is out there waiting to be discovered, but what makes the truth so hard to discover are our innate and preconceived notions that affect the way we see the world. Each person in this world is unique and different, most often in good ways, and while we do hold certain commonalities as a species, as believers, as members of a certain race, sex, community, or club, we cannot help the kink or the tweaking of our individual perceptions of the world. There's a world outside of the collective conscience of humanity that is free of subjectivity and bias, and our job as academics and truth seekers is to find ways to remove the colored lenses, if you will, from our eyes and see the world as it's meant to be seen. And the difficult thing is that there are many ways that we're pre-wired to think a certain way. We're raised by our parents, we're raised in a certain society, we're raised in a certain religion, or we're free of the religion, or we're raised in a certain part of the world where we're not given the opportunity to even think about these things that we're discussing right now. Learning to think critically in all aspects of life is probably the stepping stone to see the world as it's truly meant to be seen. Scientists and the common man alike should try to avoid observing the world through these colored lenses, as I've been saying throughout this recording. And there's no real difference between an academic and the common man. What the scientist has over the common man maybe is a certain amount of training along with inborn skills that all people have, but everyone can be taught to think critically. As I was saying earlier, that all scientists and academics should be held accountable and responsible for their opinions, ideas, and beliefs. I think you get to a certain point where science where belief systems and scientific observation can no longer be kept in different rooms of your house, so to speak. People are going to assess what you have to say sooner or later, but your job is to make sense, to make their assessment of your opinion more objective by providing evidence to support your stance. If you formulate an opinion without evidence, in a lot of ways it can't be attacked because you end up expressing your view in absolute terms. And as I mentioned earlier, it was once said that the only thing absolute is that there are no absolutes. Scientific ideas and opinions need to be stated in such a way that they can be disproven. I had mentioned earlier, again, I'm going to reiterate this, but the only absolute may be that there are no absolutes, that everything to a certain degree is relative. Furthermore, I believe that all people have an innate fear of being disproven. In essence, no one likes to be wrong and to be told that what they believe is incorrect. Call it a psychological, egotistical reaction or what have you, but what it comes down to is that people don't like to be wrong. I believe Ben Franklin once stated that beneath each of his successes was a good amount of failure. The world is ever changing, and so must opinions and beliefs. And to get to that point where you believe that your theory or idea or belief is correct, you probably have to, go over many mountains and, go through a good amount of obstacles. What may have been valid yesterday may no longer be valid today. Scientific principles that were held in high regard during the Renaissance or in past centuries may now be defunct because of new technology and new discoveries. We cannot say with absolute certainty that all of the ideas we hold as truths now can stand the test of time. Scientists have to be a creative bunch and must constantly be on their toes, thinking of ways to refine their ideas and to make their arguments stronger and less likely to crumble under the scrutiny of the industry under the scrutiny of peers, and to make their ideas able to stand the test of time. At the root of all fields of science, I believe, is physics. It's been iterated many times in our group discussions, and I just believe it as I go through my studies, that it's becoming more and more true. Physics deals with the fundamental laws of nature, and all the laws of nature apply to every science, whether it's biology, chemistry, geology, what have you. Phenomena we observe at the microscopic level can be applied to the sciences studying nature and life at the microscopic levels, like I'd mentioned, chemistry and biology. A process and structure is synonymous with the problem-solving process that we've learned in physics. And in other words, that the problem-solving process provides us with a tool that is both structured and allows us to process information in a systematic manner. Gone should be the days in which we solve problems through trial and error. Studies of cognitive processes have certainly revealed that people view the world in file information, in patterns, in scripts, and in processes. The problem-solving method is simply an extension of the organizational structure of the human mind. With the loads of information and stimuli that the brain receives, it would be constantly overloaded if priorities could not be made, and if a system did not exist for storing, receiving, and exporting information. Even if a process is memorized through rote practice, it still provides the foundation and the starting point. An example comes to mind, let's say a person who's not the strongest swimmer is all of a sudden asked to tread water for a good 20 minutes. This is obviously a situation where the person is faced with a problem. They're probably not the best swimmer, but at the same time, they're not completely lacking in their swimming skills. And life is all about choices. This person who has been asked to tread water has two choices. One is to panic and flail around in all directions until something hopefully goes right. If the person continues to do this, they'll likely run out of energy and start to sink to the bottom. The other choice for the person is to remain calm and bring to mind everything that they know about swimming, water surface tensions, buoyancy, and the density of the human body, and other things. They should start at the beginning and work their way forward systematically. Critical thinking is a systematic process, as I've mentioned. The person who is able to not panic and think systematically about a problem can be successful in all aspects of life. And every now and then, we will have to think outside of the box, and in these instances, science is like art, and creation and discovery certainly can occur. Alright, well, that wraps up my reaction and ideas concerning critical thinking, and thanks for taking the time to listen. Thanks.